Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Everything. It's not Christmas anymore. In fact, it's 2 months after Christmas. Where have we been? What have we been doing other than just not recording a podcast or almost recording a podcast and then not doing it?
Yeah, I've had the equipment ready and out since our last one in December.
I'll say, we have to record a podcast. And then it's like Sunday night. We're like, oh, we forgot to record a podcast.
I felt like the whole thing was kind of weird in that the, you know, the Hallmark controversy kind
of... We ended on like kind of a sour note.
Right, yeah.
Like even someone suggested this week that we do a Valentine, one of the Valentine movies, and I don't know. I'm just like...
Yeah, I kind of even forgot that they
soured is the right word. I'm kind of like just soured on the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see how we feel by next October or this October.
Will we do Christmas in July?
Maybe. I don't know. It just feels weird. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It feels like we've grown past the Hallmark movies.
Like, kind of like what we did last Christmas. There's enough other Christmas options that we don't necessarily have to limit ourselves to Hallmark movies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So there'll be plenty of options come October.
Yeah. Christmas entertainment.
So look out.
So what have we been doing?
We've been thinking about doing a podcast. You've been running.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing a lot of laundry.
I have been doing a lot of laundry. Well, as it turns out, when you run in the winter, you have tons and tons of clothes. And
yeah,
I don't
the
like
volume increases. But I'm not taking the blame for the laundry, though. Let's talk about why you've really done a lot of laundry.
Well. At Orange Theory Fitness is an exercise.
I think people listening to this podcast know what Orange Theory is.
Well, I go to it, and what they have from like the middle of January to the middle of March is something called the Transformation Challenge, mm-hmm. where you go as much as you can, and you try to either lose weight.
Yes. What is involved in this?
Like, you can choose what
you were like one of the
goal.
Winners. Last year.
I was.
Yeah.
You can choose either if you want to try to lose weight over the course of this transformation challenge, if you want to just improve your body, sculpting.
Yeah. I'm so glad you have such a great grasp of it to improve your body sculpting.
There's another thing.
This is like 80s workout body in motion, like with lavender leotards. Today we're going to work on our body sculpting.
It's a body something. It's something, your body something. Mm-hmm. Body
composition.
Composition. Yeah, mm-hmm. Your body composition. And then another thing. I chose body composition.
It's also a body competition.
So when they start the transformation challenge, they're splitting you into two teams, and they asked, what do you like better? Do you like a run row, which is where you run in row, and then, or do you like a switch? And a switch is when you do something for like 6 minutes and then go to the floor and then do, you know, it's mm-hmm. like a lot of back and forth.
Weights and cardio.
Yeah. Instead of staying for half and half in each class. I said run row.
Duh. Who wants a switch?
I don't know. So
what are these sociopaths that choose switch, this green team?
Yeah. So yeah, they split it into two colors. Mm-hmm. And the my run row team was blue, and they give you a blue wristband to wear. And they said, oh, it's going to be great. Everybody will be wearing blue wristbands. You can see your teammates. You can high five them in class. It's just wonderful team building. So I have, you know, the blue wristband that I wear.
And you go to Orange Theory almost every day. So you've been doing laundry every day to wash the wristband. So we were in class on like some point this week. I'm not doing it. I'm in a it's complicated type of relationship with Orange Theory right now, where I'm only going a couple times, 8 classes a month. And because I'm doing some other things with marathon training this cycle. So, yeah. So I'm an outsider in all of this. I'm mm-hmm, not part of it. But I noticed that, like, you're the only person in class wearing the wristband. And so I guess I assume nobody else is doing the transformation challenge. But you are, like, the time that we go, people aren't doing it. So, like, you have to do things like push-ups, or there's, like, a new challenge every week. So mm-hmm. add on push-ups every day, add on time to a plank, add on sit-ups every day. So our friend Sarah, who goes to class with us, she doesn't wear a wristband, and you were doing like the plank thing, and I was like, hey Sarah, you want to stay and do planks with us? I'm like, are you doing the transformation challenge? She's like, yeah. I'm like, what team are you on? She's like, I'm on blue team. I was like, you're not wearing your wristband. She's like, yeah, nobody wears their wristband.
And you're like, Pete does. I'm like, yeah, I do. I make sure to do laundry every single day so I have a clean.
And then blame me for the laundry.
Well, you do have a lot of laundry. So if it was just me going to Orange Theory and a pair of shorts and a wristband, I wouldn't do laundry every day just for a pair of shorts and a wristband.
But I have enough, like,
I would soak the wristband and make
I have like
clean.
4 or 5 days of running clothes that I would be fine to not have laundry. So if, you know, it wouldn't be, it's not necessary. So yeah, I guess you're the only person wearing the wristband, though.
I've noticed Matt, one of the coaches, wearing
that doesn't count.
And I've noticed John, one of the coaches,
wearing
it. Yeah,
it doesn't count. They're getting paid to wear those wristbands.
There's an area in the back of the studio. That's where we put our stars next to our name, which is also a thing that
I'm really fine with not participating in this.
So you went, when I go put my star on after I've done a class, I've noticed they have a stack of wristbands there that haven't been given away.
Oh. And I've people thought, haven't claimed their wristbands?
Or they just bought a bunch of wristbands and, you know, 60.
Or they started out with people being hyped about the wristbands and then they're not anymore. True.
No, I just think, you know, like they probably bought like 75 wristbands and 60 people are doing the challenge.
Maybe you should take an extra wristband.
That's exactly what I thought. I didn't think about taking one. I thought about asking, you know, like, hey, one of the studio managers,
make
Kelsey,
your life easier.
So I can do laundry every other day.
You can say, hey, Kelsey, can I have another, you know, like I wear my wristband every day, so I have to do laundry all the time. Can I have another wristband? She's like, you're wearing a wristband every day.
And it's funny, too, because I do wear it every day, and I don't really pay attention that much to other people that are wearing it.
I've never seen anybody else wear one.
And if they did, I really don't randomly high-five other people anyway.
See, I would. I would get like, I would I had camaraderie. Like,
yeah. Because you're good with other people in class. I just like to do my thing and get out of there.
Yeah.
The other day, I was doing laundry, and like a bunch of laundry sheets came out, so I put them in my back pocket, and then I just got distracted and did, you know, fed the pets before I left for work, and then I had spent all day with these dryer sheets hanging out of my back pocket because when I got home from
like
work,
Springsteen, like with
a kerchief,
with a handkerchief,
when I got home like at 1 a.m. after work, I like took my jeans off and the dryer sheets were
cool
hanging.
Look, Thomas is wearing a wristband to class,
and nobody said anything. Like, hey, dude, you got dryer.
That's
sheets.
Why you need to make friends.
Well, this is at work. I would think that, you know, I work with Justin for 15 hours a day.
Yeah.
You think that he would have saw that and said, like, hey, you got
some
dryer
sheets. Well,
that
shows you how much people pay attention to you and how much they care about you, I guess.
Justin and I have talked about this where we're with each other so much that I don't like to wear the same clothes all the time. I'm like, I can't wear this shirt again this week. You know, I just wore this on Monday. Why am I going to wear this shirt again on Thursday? He'll notice. No, nobody will know. I couldn't tell you what shirts he wears on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
He could wear the same one every day. I probably wouldn't notice.
Well, when you were doing, like, the sit-up challenge that week, they like to, like, post videos of people working out in the studio. And it's weird because we were famously took over the Orange Theory feed for a week. You might remember. But they post, like, they post stories a lot that they make, but then in their feed, like, the photos are, like, these, like, they've, like, changed over to, like, these corporate photos. It's weird. But in the stories, there was, like, a video of you doing your sit-ups.
I know. Like, each week there's a challenge. So, for example, one week it was, like, start off on Monday doing 10 sit-ups and increase by 5 every day. And Kelsey, the studio manager, is like, oh, anybody in the transformation challenge want to do their sit-ups? I'm like, all right, yeah, this is a team-building thing.
Yeah.
I'll join in. So we started doing them, and then all of a sudden I saw Matt, one of the coaches, you know, with his phone out, and I was like, this is not going to look
good. A good look.
This is not going to be good looking for me. And so, yeah, so then they posted this video of all of us doing sit-ups, And you were unimpressed with my form.
Well, they were just like old school sit-ups where, where you go all the way up. And just like a lot of momentum going on. Not a lot of actually like core strength happening.
In the olden days, when you would do a sit-up, somebody would hold your feet down.
Yeah, this is like PE days. Yeah. These are not very effective exercises.
So with nobody holding my feet, it's hard to... I mean, I know that's the point, mm-hmm. but it's hard to do a sit-up when, like, your feet are not, you know, glued to the ground.
Yeah.
So, yes, I needed some momentum with my arms. And you were like, that's not a sit-up. Like, it is a sit-up. I did 25.
The form was just questionable.
But I did them.
Yeah.
Didn't want to see the video. Didn't need to see the video of it, for sure. But, yeah.
You also had to, you got like some workout clothes for Christmas and you needed to exchange them and from Nike. And one was like, they were both cool shirts. One was just, was small for the size that it was.
It was a slim fit.
And then the other one, like you wore it once, it was great. And then you washed it and it got like a bunch of holes in it. Mm-hmm. So you had to go to the Nike store to exchange them. And the Nike store in Chicago is the worst. It's so stressful. Like, they play music really loud. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to, like, navigate through, and hardly anybody works there. It's really hard to get help with anything. It's just a terrible place.
Yeah. Your mom gave me two of the shirts for Christmas, and I have to say that I think maybe, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I said that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Nike after work one of these nights that I have a night off.
Mm-hmm. And once again, like, it's been 2 months since Christmas.
And you were like, you haven't returned those? And I was like, no, I haven't really had an opportunity. But really, I was just holding off to...
Yeah, you work just down the street.
I was holding off for like you to say, because I know what a nightmare that place is. Mm-hmm. I was just holding on hope that like you would have to go for something because you don't have to
I didn't want to have to deal with it.
So I was waiting. I'm like, oh, I'm sure she'll have to
go to Nike. Well, the thing about giving you gifts is that it is rare that you ever get something that doesn't have to be exchanged.
That's not true.
It's pretty true.
No.
It's always like the wrong, this doesn't fit or something's wrong with it.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Like what, for example, besides these two Nike shirts?
There was just a bunch of, this always happens, like there was a bunch of stuff with you with Christmas that had to be exchanged. That's when we went to the Old Orchard and I got the flu. I was exchanging your Christmas present.
That's right. I forgot.
I got the flu in line at L.L. Bean exchanging your Christmas presents.
Yeah, I forgot. This maybe this particular Christmas was a bad one. But I like normally when your mom gets me stuff, it's always the right size and good. This was a rare misstep. If that's what you want to call it. So I was waiting for you to volunteer yourself to go to the Nike store for 2 months.
I was holding out. I'm not going to do it.
It was like the Everybody Loves Raymond suitcase episode.
Oh, yeah. Classic. Everybody knows this reference because it's a show that everybody likes. It's not horrible or anything.
That's a canon episode of a sitcom.
I kind of feel like I'm getting hives just hearing Everybody Loves Raymond. Somebody actually watched that.
Ray Romano is like the hottest thing in celebrity culture these days.
No, he's not.
Everybody's talking about how hot Ray Romano is. At the Oscars and with the Irishman.
You think that was like a joke.
No, it's not. People are, they fancy Ray Romano now as a sex symbol.
We talk about like how the world you live in is different from the world that I live in. So I'm just going to say that that's in your world.
I feel that I've heard from multiple sources that Ray Romano is now a sex symbol. Regardless.
I've never heard this.
Ray, regardless about how much sex appeal Ray Romano has in the classic
it's
everybody.
It's a real tangent.
But do you remember the Ray
Romano? No, I've never watched 1 second of that show.
It's like they have a staircase that goes up to their bedroom and there's like a landing, much like we have. And mm-hmm. like they came home from vacation and one of them left the suitcase on the landing to the stairs and they both refused to take the suitcase up, mm-hmm. knowing that it was there. And I feel like this was kind of we have the Nike shirts and we are both holding out for taking it back to Nike for the return.
Yep.
And I know it's my job to do that since it was the gift for me.
Well, so that you can get what you want and that it fits.
And so there was a day after work a couple of weeks ago where I'm like, I'm gonna walk. It's not that close. I mean, I know it's a downtown, but it's like, you know, it's like 700 North Michigan or something. So it's not that close. I have to walk almost a mile.
That far? It's just across the bridge.
No, it's not. It's like 600 something North Michigan. But anyway, so I went and I have a big coat. It was cold out, and you walk in, and yeah, the music is blaring. There's nobody around. There's people seemingly to be shopping, but there's nobody to help you. There were a gaggle of employees, but they were kind of all talking and laughing in a group, and I just kind of felt like they were making fun of me. Like, who's this guy coming in at 7 o'clock in this big coat with a red bag of stuff in it? It's probably going to be something we don't want to deal with, so let's ignore him. So they ignored me, and so I went up. I looked at the sign. It said like men's store, second floor. So I go up to the second floor again. You know, tumbleweeds, nobody around.
Yep.
I'm looking for something. I'm like, well, should I grab it? Just grab a couple of shirts that are similar. But then I wasn't sure what the price was. I didn't want to like take it down or like, sir, you owe $175. You know, this is a special shirt. So I started sweating. I'm in my big coat. The music is loud. I can't find anybody to help me. So I texted you. I'm like, I'm leaving. And you're like, no.
Well, I just said, just go and return them and get like a credit, and then we'll just order you something online.
But I couldn't even. Where's the register?
Right when you walk in.
But they don't have registers. I was looking for a cash register.
Yeah, there's a cash wrap to the right.
It's like they have an iPad or something like that. It's a fancy register.
They have both.
Like nobody was at the help desk, at the service desk. As somebody who's worked in retail at the Foot Locker, if I saw a person like myself come in who looked like he was lost,
yeah,
I would go up and say, like, sir, you look lost and uncomfortable.
You would?
Yeah. Can I help you with anything? Yeah.
I thought you said you would, like, hide from that person.
Well, it depends on... It depends.
You try to pass him off on your coworker.
Well, it depends on what the issue was. Despite what happened, the bad experience at Nike that one day, I'm like, I'm going to go back the next morning or whatever when it's lighter. Maybe I could, maybe, I don't know, like the sun was, I don't know, I was more helped by the sun. So I went in there, and I walked in, and a person was right kind of at the front saying, oh, sir, how can I help you? I'm like, hey, I got a couple of shirts that I need to return. She's like, okay, go up to the second floor. Somebody will help you. I walked up there. There was a couple of people that were talking to each other that were noticeably employees. And it was funny because there was, I think it was three of them. And I walked up. I'm like, excuse me, I have an exchange. And two of the employees just like just veered off. They're like, we don't want to deal with it. They're like, let's give it to the new guy.
Yep.
He can deal with this guy exchanging shirts. So, but he was very helpful. He's like, oh, yeah, just... these are the similar shirts. Pick a couple out and just bring them down to the register. And easy peasy.
Perfect.
What a difference a day makes.
Yeah.
And that's all you needed is like somebody to like help guide you. That store is so big. You need somebody like that at the front to guide you to where you are going.
I always feel like that store is not really for shopping. It's just for like seeing the brand.
Like more like the basketball, like the new basketball shoes and such.
Yeah. That store is really hard to shop at.
But they have that whole second floor is full of like running t-shirts.
Yeah. But I told you it was like, it was advanced retail, and I don't know if you were ready for that.
I was not ready for advanced retail. What is that? Not helping?
Just that thing. It just requires more effort on like, I don't know, that like it's not that. Yeah. You might just be lucky to find somebody that has a little like iPhone that can ring you up. Beginner retail would be that, I'm trying to think where you go and get, just somewhere where like there would be a lot of people working. It's very clear, like you get a lot of help. Advanced retailing being that things are like modernized in a way that makes things difficult and it's busy and it's big and there's not a lot of people working.
And I know a lot has changed since I worked at Foot Locker. In like 92,
40 years ago.
And then but that was one of the things that we were always taught to do, was when somebody walks in, you greet the customer, let them kind of make their way around. If they know what they're, you know, if they're just going to the shoe wall, let them look for a little bit, and then like approach them and say, hey, are you looking for anything?
I think people have become like weirded out by getting service places.
And you can tell because the service is horrible everywhere. Yeah.
I think people feel weird when somebody tries to help them with something.
Why? Why is this a thing?
Billie Eilish. I don't know.
Everything is Billie Eilish's fault. But regardless, I was able to muddle my way through the Nike store.
You did it.
And got, I exchanged my two shirts and got $16 credit.
Good
that
job.
I gave you a gift card.
Good job.
Since you go there often or you shop Nike more.
Yep. We have a lot of cats surrounding us right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Well, there's only two currently on the table.
Oh, but then there's one nearby. Another one nearby. We just, like, refinanced our house, and, like, the notary comes to your house to, like, do the paperwork. And I was like, oh, we can go to the dining table. And then I forgot that the dining table is just, like, cat HQ.
Yeah, there's a lot of bowls.
So there's bowls. There's,
a
like,
lot of bits.
Bits and cats. She just, like... She... It was like... She didn't even like ever like even look at us.
No,
she was just like a notary robot. Like she just came in, put the papers down, gave us pen signs. Like never didn't talk to us.
Didn't say our names or
didn't like
didn't say
acknowledge
her name
us.
Was.
Like just came in, sat down. We did the thing. She left. Like never. There was no. It was weird. So like when she has like a dog jumping on her or like a cat walking by her, she just like no. There's just like no reaction to it.
It was interesting because we refinanced and. We had this like digital.
We signed a bunch of stuff digitally,
like a e-sign, DocuSign.
Yeah,
and I was like, "This is great."
And the mortgage guy said, "You only have to sign one thing."
Yeah,
yeah.
And then we ended up signing the same thing.
She
like doing all like
just
a
as much as you
mortgage.
Do when you buy a house. Yeah,
yeah. And I. Lemur doing something. At some point, I wanted to say to her, "I'm like, do you know we did this on DocuSign like two
but that
minutes
would have
ago?"
Been, yeah, but it was just like I felt so uncomfortable. She was just so like detached,
animatronic. Yeah, but I didn't, and we ended up having to go through the whole rigmarole.
Yep.
On our cat table.
Speaking of cats, we've had some involvement on Nextdoor over the past couple of months. One was that we actually were. Involved with a cat situation on Nextdoor where there was this outside cat, stray cat, unclear mm-hmm. cat that would come and hang out on our porch and like look longingly into our house. And it was really cute and it was really fat.
Yeah.
Dot would hiss at it. Like, get away from my house. This is my thing.
Yeah.
Don't threaten this good thing
yeah,
that
I
have.
Yeah, I got a good thing going here. That's the thing. The cat looked healthy.
Yeah.
So
the coat was good. It let us, it didn't let us pick it up, but it let us like touch it.
So it didn't seem like it was mistreated or just a stray.
But it would come when it was cold and it would come in the middle of the night and like, so it didn't have a collar. So we were going to try to like trap it and get it, you know, scan it for a microchip. So then I posted on Nextdoor, like, does anybody know this cat? No, nothing helpful, of course. Then that girl did bring it into her house and was like, does anybody know this cat? It looked like freaked out in her house. And I'm like, yes, we've been taking care of this cat. Another person's like, yes, I've been taking care of this cat. And I was like, please let me know what happens. Like we take care of this cat. I want to know that it's okay. Or that you found its owners or what its owners, who its owners were, whatever. Anyway, so she did find the owners somehow and returned the cat. And it turned out that it was like an indoor outdoor cat. And I'm like, please stress to them that it needs a collar to indicate this. And that when it's cold and in the middle of the night, you know, overnight, this cat needs to be inside. And it really should be inside all the time anyway. And it was traveling, like it was crossing Devon, like it was traveling all over.
Yeah, that,
like Rogers Park and Edgewater. Someone was taking care of it too.
Like
yeah.
A mile away. Essentially, this cat was just going house to house having food.
Yeah.
We'd always get this cat food.
And that's why it was
That's
so
why
fat.
It was coming back.
So now, since then, since it was returned to the owners, we have not seen it since then. So hopefully they are just keeping it inside now. And that, you know, so that seems to be a happy ending. And then the other thing that we were dealing with on Nextdoor was that a new, like there was like this old rundown unappetizing diner that was by my studio.
I thought it looked fine.
If you like cockroaches in your food, I'm sure it looks great. And
it looked like a diner, an old school diner.
Yes and no.
I never had been inside. It would, you know, it's near your studio, so I would walk by on occasion and look in. It just looked like a diner.
I don't know. It was just dirty. So it closed, and then like a couple like took it over, and they've been working on it. It looks promising, and We're like, all right. And people are so, there's a lot, there's like, people are really starved for decent things in our neighborhoods. Yeah. Right? Like, we're two neighborhoods together that it's a lot of people and not a lot of places to spend your money in these two neighborhoods for some reason. And we're surrounded by like Evanston and Andersonville that have a lot of things, but Rogers Park and Edgewater, for some reason, other than like chain restaurants by Loyola and a few good restaurants, a handful of good restaurants, mm-hmm. there's just not a lot of just not enough for the amount of people that are there.
That most of the people,
and the amount of space that it is.
I shouldn't say most of the people, but a lot of times the residents of these Rogers Park and Edgewater will go to Evanston or Andersonville because they don't offer as much.
Yeah.
So you're losing your neighborhood customer.
Yeah. And there's a lot of empty spaces and there's a lot of things that close. And anyway, so people are excited when there's something that seems, new and decent is really exciting.
Yeah.
And so people were posting, like, this restaurant has no social media presence, no website. Like, no, there's no way of finding any information about it.
It's impossible to find the menu online.
Yeah. And so I asked, and people were talking about it in next door, and everyone was like, what's even the address of this place? Like, we can't find anything about it. And so they're failing in that regard. Mm-hmm. But I was asking, I can't find a menu. Is it vegan friendly? And all these people were like, just, it started this whole stream of comments of people saying like, yes, I was wondering the same thing. Like, whenever this happens, there's two things on Nextdoor. People lose their cats and people are looking for vegan-friendly options. That's pretty much all it is. And everyone was like, what is it? And people were like, well, I'm not vegan, but I noticed it was mostly just, like, mostly eggs and chicken on salads.
They have avocado toast.
Yeah.
Because somebody went and took a picture of the menu and posted the menu. So you're on Facebook and you're trying to blow up the menu.
Yeah.
It's like, Honey Bear Cafe or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Get a website and put your menu online.
Yeah. Yeah. And just an Instagram. Like, do you not have to put that much effort into it? It's free. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand ignoring getting customers into your your place.
I mean, I'm sure eventually they'll get with it. But I think that in this era, even before you open, you should have all that stuff ready to go.
Yeah. Yes, that's not crazy. That's the norm.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this started like a whole stream of messages of people saying like, why don't we have better? Yes, number one, do they have vegan options? People saying no. And then people saying like, why is this so ignored in this neighborhood? Why do we just get crappy places like Wingstop? And then someone said like, why can't we get more places like Smack Dab, which is a restaurant where they have a lot of vegan options? Then it went on a whole tangent about people like complaining about Smack Dab.
That's and, like, also
went
very
all
next
over
story.
The went all over the place. So that these have been our next door interactions in the past couple of months.
I tend to join a lot of things on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in a lot of events. It was funny because I said a couple of weeks ago, Andersonville had a hot chocolate crawl.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so I was like, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it on Facebook. And then Mary Byrne, one of our friends, she said that she found out about it because it came up on Facebook as I was interested in it. So I'm...
You're doing a service.
I'm doing a service.
Yeah. By liking things that you're never going to go to.
Well,
so being interested in things you're never going to go to.
Most things I would not go to. So there's a bunch, I'm in the Rogers Park running group.
Right.
I'm in the various Edgewater, Rogers Park neighborhood, a couple of each. But I'm also in a vegan meetup.
Yeah. Have you met up with them yet?
I have not. I don't want to meet up with anybody. I just thought, I was like, I'm going to join this group and then maybe see
where they go.
Yeah, like, hey, this new restaurant opened. It has a bunch of good vegan options. Or, hey, we tried this restaurant and we had this.
Yeah.
That's a good resource to have in an area that's perhaps a little starved for options.
Yeah.
But no, it's more just like, we're meeting up on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. We're all going to go to the Ethiopian restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't want to go with you dopes.
Use our hands to eat food with strangers?
That sounds horrible. And I don't want to leave the group because I have aspirations that they will eventually turn into something where they'll let me know about.
Maybe you need to start a new group that's about, I don't want to actually get together, but let's talk about where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah, should that be the title?
Yeah.
The group? Because, yeah, I don't want to go with you.
The non-meetups. The vegan non-meetups.
The non-meetups. Yeah. I'm gonna join the Facebook non-meetups.
Start it. I bet you're not alone in this. There's other socially awkward vegans on there.
What could be worse than that?
Meet up with vegan strangers.
That sounds horrible.
It does sound really bad.
Horrible.
I'm off of Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I still have my account, but I took out my phone. I check it once a week, just like stuff with the rescue or work, or I don't know, just to check and see there's, I don't scroll at all. I just look at my notifications once a week.
Saves you a lot of time.
And I kind of like almost last week, I almost even forgot to look once. So
I think I told you
fine.
To, because I think I posted something that I said
that you wanted me to share.
Or that I wanted you to like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I use Facebook. I don't post that often on Facebook, but I do. I just use it for work type thing, you know, just mm-hmm. to kind of figure out what's going on. I use it less and less, I more Twitter.
I mean,
Instagram.
I had wanted to distance myself from it. I think it's more bad than good, but I had an incident where a group that I was in, there were some things that I felt shamed by the group.
What do you mean?
I'm not getting into details, but it feels very like 2020 to feel like I'm triggered by this group. I have to leave Facebook because it's making me upset.
Aw. Do I know about this?
Yes.
Oh. Refresh my memory. Give me a hint about what it was.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
So that was my, like, I mean, what could be more of a, Russia stealing my identity? I don't care about that. I felt shamed by a group that I'm in.
Speaking of triggered, yesterday we went to a musical called Verboten, mm-hmm. Which is playing at the House Theater. It's on Division. Yeah. And it's a story about this guy, Jason Narduzzi, who plays in with Bob Mould, and he plays with Superchunk, and he's just a great musician that's been around Chicago for a long time. And this musical is about the story of his preteen punk band.
Yeah.
And so we went to this show, and I was excited about
it. It's like rock musical. That's, yeah. Every review talks about how loud it is.
Yeah. It's punk. You know, they were 11, 12, 13 playing punk rock music.
And yeah. It's like the whole point of it is this feeling of like being really, being really loud.
Yeah. And aggressive. And,
yeah.
And so we get to the theater and you kind of noticed that it was,
there was something was, I felt this feeling like something
was off with the crowd.
That we didn't look like any, everyone, it was either a kid or a very elderly person.
Yeah.
It's like, what, is this just a matinee, a theater matinee?
Matinees tend to be older people and younger people, so
it
checks
just,
out.
We were the only people that weren't 10 or 80.
Yeah, the woman that was sitting next to us, who we tried to get by to get into our seats, and she would not get up.
She wouldn't move. Like, so we had to like physically like
I had to climb
over her. And she didn't even like say anything. Or anything. She was like the notary. She didn't even acknowledge us. I'm like, maybe she can't get up. But then we saw her.
Yeah, she got up. Yeah. Plenty of things. She got up during the intermission.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. I felt like I was going to hurt her. Like,
yeah.
It was really uncomfortable.
And I was like, oh, this is how people are. They don't get up or move. Like, just try to.
We always talk about, like, we don't go to this movie theater in Evanston anymore because the people were so, like, they were so like, they didn't care about, like, anybody else.
Yeah,
there.
Very narcissistic about, they just cared about themselves.
I don't know. It was just so strange. It was just like, I really felt like I was going to like hurt her some way.
Yeah. It was weird.
Like having to physically climb over her, like touch her and climb over her.
Like just try to move a little bit to the side, at least do something where we don't have to crawl over your legs.
Yeah.
So we're getting, and the show's great. Verboten, I think it's playing for another month. If you're into musicals, it's good, go see it. As in most local theater productions, the manager of the theater comes out to beg for money, and they do their spiel.
Really enthusiastic.
Yeah, a lot enthusiastic. Of clapping. Yeah, a little too enthusiastic. And then he introduces this other person who is in charge of,
I think she's like the accessibility director,
which
is like a job that my brother
Yeah.
Has, so.
And she had mentioned that this is a special show where they're not going to use as
it's a relaxed, what's the word? Relaxed and sensory sensitive something mm-hmm. show or something
so
like that.
So they're not going to use as many strobes.
They're going to keep the house lights on.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keep the house lights on. They're not going to do any of the light stuff that they normally do. And because when you go in, it has like this big sign like, this is loud, there's strobe lights, there's mm-hmm. adult language, you yeah. know, like...
Be aware.
Yeah, be aware. So they weren't going to... They were keeping the house lights on. They weren't going to use the strobe, the lights. And then they were toning down the music. So, like, they had... Like, the drums had this, like, cage around it that, like... So you could barely hear the drums. And then people didn't have... Like, half of the instruments weren't even plugged in.
Yeah.
They would just pretend to use them.
Or it was just, like, an electric guitar, but... just
not plugged into an amp or
an
anything.
Amp, yeah, so you could hear. I mean, acoustically, you could still hear it, but it wasn't overwhelming. You know, the sound wasn't overwhelming.
Yeah. So that for if you're sensitive, that was great that it was the right choice. And then yeah. she also said, we're keeping the house lights on because if you need to take a break and go to our quiet space, we have coloring books in there for mm-hmm. you. I feel it's great that
yeah.
they're offering this.
Absolutely.
I just wish we would have known because... Instead of seeing the play that was like as it was intended to be really loud, we saw a very muted, literally
yeah.
muted version.
And
so they'd come out and like we're like miming things
yeah.
instead of like playing the song.
And I don't remember when I bought the tickets that they said.
It doesn't. We looked and it doesn't say on there. It says like if you scroll all the way down on the homepage of the theater that there's like some special shows. So yeah, again, I love that they're offering this. I just wish
yeah.
that I would have known we weren't, because we would have been fine. I would have preferred seeing the loud.
Right.
The loud one.
And the coloring books were delightful. I had a blast. I think the integrity of the production was probably still there.
I mean, they still said all the words.
Yeah. If you're an old-time radio fan, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a classic Dick Biondi hunk.
Yeah.
which I appreciated.
We were looking at like what we had written on our list, and there were some good things. Like we, for some reason, we listened to XRT. Speaking of radio, we listened to XRT for like a moment.
Yeah.
And when we put it
just
on,
it was
Stevie Ray Vaughan, "The House Is a Rockin'." It's so, that is the worst song ever.
It is the worst song of all time. There is not a worse
song. I dare somebody out there to please tweet us what's our Twitter. Your Twitter.
Oh, Peter Zim.
Yeah. Please tweet at Peter Zim if you have a worse song than "The House Is a Rockin'" by Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't even care if maybe you're a Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. Fine. This song, you've got to agree that this is a terrible song.
Why is XRT playing this? It is horrible. If
weird.
The house is a rockin', don't bother knocking.
I think we were in an Uber. That's what it was. That's what. Yes, this is what it, I forgot. It's been a long time.
I mean, but it's...
We were in an Uber coming home, and it was like maybe kind of snowy or something, and it was really quiet, like... And then she's blasting the song.
XRT is in one of our presets. So, I mean, it's possible that we could have been listening to it.
No, it was in an Uber where she was blasting it, and nobody was saying anything. We're all just sitting there, like, all three of us just experiencing this horrible song.
People, I know, and I know people love Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you can love Stevie Ray Vaughan and hate this and agree that this is a horrible song.
It is terrible. I don't know why any station would ever put this on the air.
It's real, real bad.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
How does it go?
If the house is a rockin', don't bother knocking. If the house is a rockin', don't bother knocking. If the house is a rockin',
and that's it. That's all he said.
3 minutes.
And I'm sure there's a solo, a guitar solo in there. That's
oh,
and then goes
I needed
back.
A coloring book after I heard that.
Yeah, we're in Ubers or, you know, ride sharing cars quite often, and mostly it's like the hits. They'll play whatever, you know, B96 or whatever mm-hmm. the jams are, and sometimes that could be a little bit too much if it's
yeah.
if it's loud.
Yes. It's like being at the Nike store. It's assaulting.
It keeps me in tune to what people are listening to, so I know what's going on at the Grammy Awards.
You know? That's important.
You know, the new Justin Bieber.
We've really been enjoying the new Justin Bieber song.
Only because... Yummy, yummy, yummy. What does he say
yeah,
before that? What does he say before yummy?
Because you got that yummy.
Is that what he said? Because you got that yummy, yummy, yummy. But we instead of saying yummy, we say snuggy for a sticker. That's our nickname for the dog.
Have we talked about this? I think we have, about how we substitute. Anytime it's like you in a song, you put zoo for Zuzu or zoos. And anytime there's like something that, there's different things that sound like stickers or snug. Snugs. And yummy, yummy is perfect snuggy, snuggy.
Yeah, so we've been enjoying the Justin Bieber jam.
Adult mustachioed Justin Bieber.
I'd rather hear that at a reasonable volume than Stevie Ray Vaughan tosses a rock.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd be so happy if I'd never heard, if the house is a rockin', don't bother knocking. If the house is a rockin', don't bother knocking, ever again.
And then that, after we heard that, I couldn't not hear about Stevie Ray Vaughan like all week. I kept,
he
like,
came up in the news?
I don't know. I just kept hearing people talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was like, what's happening?
There's other, you know, musicians of his ilk that are also horrible that maybe have been influenced by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I don't even know if he's horrible. I just know that song is horrible.
Yeah. I'd say he's mostly horrible. But,
oh, I'm going to say that it's just not my thing. But
yeah, okay.
Even if it's your thing, that song is terrible.
And I'm not one to like, because, you know, I know a lot of people complain about radio, and somebody who works in radio, I'm aware of people complaining about things, and they feel it's like an okay thing to do to complain about radio. Mm-hmm. So I understand XRT. Like, I don't want to like tweet XRT saying like, how can you play Stevie? How can this song be in your playlist still?
It is shameful though that, aside from Chirp, that the Chicago radio stations that play music are so
like rock music
stuck in some era. Like, there's anything new that's played in Meyer is mired in a bunch of garbage too.
If and I owned so a radio station, I could make it like successful.
Skimmed what they play too. Anyway, this is a whole other discussion.
So if anybody wants to give me a radio station, I would be happy to program the music side. No Stevie Ray Vaughan, House is a Rockin'.
Yeah. I just never understand, like, is this what appeals to people, or is this, do people listen to this just because this is their only option?
I think people are genuinely music fans and want to hear new music, but nobody has time to like find new music. They rely on some place like XRT.
So why don't they? Why do they fail them?
They do, and they fail. They fail their audience, and their audience will just
listen to it no matter what.
And you know, that's why bad things sometimes get a little bit more successful than some other deserving things. Yeah, but they, you know, they're still,
that's the way with everything, though, right?
Yeah, true. Movies and whatnot.
You were also talking on your show this week about this story about a girl who was a really picky eater,
mm-hmm.
and her parents were getting her therapy to help with her picky eating. Right. One of the things was that she didn't like to be around. You were telling me this, and she's like, you were saying like, oh, she was so picky. She didn't even like to be around people eating bananas. And I was like, I don't like to be around people eating bananas either.
Which I never really knew.
Well, they have a very strong smell. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fine with that smell when I'm,
because we have banana. We buy every time we're in the store, we buy 12 bananas.
Well, because I put bananas in smoothies, and then I put bananas on toast, like before I run too.
Oatmeal, we have bananas.
And in our oatmeal, yeah. But I don't just like eat a banana straight. Or I cut them up, and like I eat fruit every day that's like cut up, and I cut up a banana.
So when you make our oatmeal, which has bananas, I take that bowl and I eat it. Are you disgusted by that type of eating of a banana?
No, because you're in a different room. No, it's more just like the just like eating a banana, like peeling the banana and eating it. I'm not like super against it, but I can understand that the smell is a lot. And then bananas have that, like, there's like a sound to eating them that can be gross as well.
Well, you have a lot of food issues.
So I don't like this girl being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that she couldn't eat a banana, or people being around somebody eating a banana. I'm like, it's not that weird.
There's a lot of times where we'll be eating on the sofa and like watching the television, and like you'll move away from me because I'm too close.
I don't like to touch while eating.
If my knee actually accidentally grazes your knee, you're like, oh, you like recoil in horror.
This is an exaggeration. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that weird. I don't want to be like, if you're like touching someone while you're eating seems like too intimate.
Yeah. No,
is that crazy?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. Do I need to see a therapist about this?
No, I'm fine with it. But then there's like, well, whatever we're eating, like you're not happy with the way you ate a burrito.
Oh, when you eat a burrito.
There's a lot.
No, it's unhappy is not the right word. I'm perplexed is the right word. So when this is a totally different thing though. When we eat a burrito, like when you get a burrito, it comes in foil, and like, the whole thing is that you're supposed to like that's your like vehicle for eating it. So you hold it by the foil and you unwrap it mm-hmm. as you eat. But you just go for it. You take the foil off of the burrito.
Yeah, I'm a risk taker.
But it never turns out well.
So a lot of the burrito ends up on the plate. Yeah. That's very true.
So you eat it and it just like falls apart. And you're like, oh, why is this happening? And I'm just like neatly eating my burrito in the foil as intended. No problems. And yours is just like
falling apart.
Completely come out the bottom of it. So again, this is crazy. And so my whole thing is like, someday you'll learn that if you just use the foil,
yeah,
all this would be avoided.
I don't, because I don't like to be that close to foil.
Oh, okay.
There's, you know,
well,
a chance.
Tear it down more, but still have it at the bottom to like hold it together.
Yeah, I guess I could. I'll try
that. You don't have to like, you can, it's not like your mouth has to touch it. You can have it torn down enough.
So yeah, there's a lot of
advanced burrito eating.
When we're eating something.
But it's just because you get really frustrated that it's all come out the bottom. You're like, this is too hard to eat.
I do say that, yes.
So again, I'm going to say, this is not that weird.
Yeah. I say it every time, too. What's the saying?
The definition of insanity is like
doing the same thing over and over again.
So who is the crazy person in this one?
Yeah.
All we've learned from this is that like I can see bananas bothering somebody. I'm not super opposed to it, but I can understand why someone would be bothered by that. Do you often like snuggle with somebody while they're eating? No. And just keep the foil on the burrito. I feel like I'm going to come off as being crazy in this, but none of those things are that crazy.
No, they're not. No. Well, in the article, it was this young, like a 13-year-old, and their parents were just really overcome with...
Really distraught about it.
Distraught about trying to get the girl to eat fruit and mm-hmm. vegetables because she wasn't doing it. And I feel that's a very common problem for parents is getting their young children to eat. So I saw food therapists. That's really going overboard. But it turned out like this therapist like could actually hone in on healthy foods that this person liked, you know, based on texture and smell and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it, you know, so she was becoming more of a well-rounded eater because of the therapist as opposed to just, you know, only eating
brown pizza rolls
or something like that.
Chicken strips.
Which I do miss pizza
buttered
rolls.
Buttered noodles. Yeah. There are vegan pizza rolls.
There are?
Yes.
Like Totino's?
No, like Amy's.
Oh.
Or you can make your own.
That's no fun. you get the bag, you slap them on a plate, you put them in the microwave, and then you
so
burn
gross.
Your mouth like 10 times. That's
and they're
the
like,
proper
you're not
way
to microwave them.
Right, I know. That's a proper way to eat a pizza roll. You get a cold one every now and again. Perfect. So do we have anything else that we need to talk about?
That's
We've
it.
We've caught everybody up on our last 2 months. Are we going to do this again?
Well, the other part of that, you guys talking about that on the radio, is that a woman called in and she said that her... tell the story, the vegan story.
We're talking about picky eaters on the radio, and this woman called up and said that her friend's grandson, she was like so angry about it. Dorothy, I think her mm-hmm. name was Dorothy from Mokena. She's like, you know, my friend's grandson, he will not even eat an animal. Not even an egg. She was so like mad about it. And then she said something like, so they took him to a psychologist. I don't know what the psychologist said. Maybe the kid's eating burgers now. I don't know. But like, uh-huh. she couldn't believe that somebody would not eat a cow. And I can't remember how old the grandson was, probably like 41. I don't know how young the kid was, but she was not having it. All right, so that's it.
think
there anything
so.
Anything else? Anything else on our list?
No, I think that's it.
Let me go through my list. Yeah, I think that's it. Everything else can... We can hold.
Next,
some evergreens.
We'll talk to you in 2 months.
Got some evergreens here.
Let's try to keep this going. Next week we're going to be in Austin because it's going to be 5 degrees warmer there than it is here. So
I know I was very bummed out when I saw the weather. It's like every day is like 75 and sunny, and then on Saturday when we're
48
there,
and rain.
I'm like, what is happening? Why is this?
Hopefully that will.
I mean, it sounded like we were wanted to go swimming or anything.
I
mean,
do.
I know that you did, but I thought it would be particularly good if we went, we were able to go swimming. I was just more thinking like, oh, we could walk around the street with like a short sleeve shirt on. That's what I was looking forward to. Now yeah. I think we're going to have to bring our winter coats. All right. So we'll talk to you, I don't know.
In a couple weeks.
Before 2 months.
Yeah.